Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Drive on KFH.
All right, welcome back. Jive Talk here on The Drive with Bob and Jeff. Second hour of a Friday. Don't forget, we return to the World Series of Faceoff round of 16 on Monday. We'll be in studio Monday and Tuesday for those matches. Monday, we'll have A.J. Bodick against Andy Bartell, Jason Howling against Daniel Rojas, Justin Wasmuth takes on Blake Rasmussen, and Jeff Moore and Jay Fry. On Tuesday, the round of 16 matches will be Kyle Coffey against Chad Vogelmoer, Steve Stoffregen against Derek Chilcott, Pat Pass goes against Joel Ramos, and Dan Barber takes on J.R. Youngers. From that group, a champion will be crowned a week from yesterday out at Side Pockets. We'll be out at Side Pockets on remote Wednesday and Thursday for the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals in the World Series of Faceoff. Side Pockets at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler. Come and join us. We'll have some fun. Watching the Wimbledon semifinal after the six-hour-plus first semifinal, which just went on forever, couldn't believe it. Kevin Anderson defeats John Isner, the American, the longest ever Wimbledon semifinal. Now we're in the third set of Djokovic and Nadal, tied at one, and we're in a tiebreaker in the third set that's 9-9. I don't know if we'll get to 26-24, which is where we got with the fifth set tiebreaker in the first semifinal, but some pretty interesting stuff. And here you have Nadal and Djokovic. Tell me how old do you think they are?
Nadal's probably 31 or 2, I would say. Djokovic probably 33 or 34.
Nadal's 32, Djokovic 31.
Really?
Nadal won his first Grand Slam title 13 years ago, the French Open. Djokovic won his first Grand Slam title 10 years ago in the Australian Open. They've been around forever and still
with
relatively
Federer.
Young guys.
Yeah, but not by tennis terms. At this point, Pete Sampras was like done at 30, right? He didn't do much.
I'd have to go back and look, but Federer's still viable.
Yeah, because no one is challenging these guys, and I don't understand it. I get that they're probably better athletes, maybe. I don't know. Pete Sampras was a good athlete, but usually in tennis, when you have this many miles and you've had the injuries, especially that Nadal has had.
Yeah, but these two are special. These two are special players.
I mean, I get it. Pete Sampras was a special player. Andre Agassi was a special player.
Right, but these are two of the greats of in the history of the game, and we're watching them right here. I mean, they can play a while. They both look to be in incredible shape.
Sampras's last... He only won two Grand Slams in the 2000s, and he was born in 71. So he won one in 2000 when he was 28 or 29, and his last was in 02 when he was 30 or 31. So, again, the guy was finished at 31.
Well, he's great, but these two are equally great. You'd have a hard time convincing me that Pete Sampras is a greater tennis player than either Nadal.
But he probably was. That's the thing. No one is challenging these people. No one.
What?
Who's the fourth best men's tennis player?
Well, you know, I don't follow the game well enough to know that.
Yeah, but in the 90s, you had Agassi, Courier, Sampras, your Goran Ivanisevic.
Goran Ivanisevic?
Yeah, he was a heck of a player.
You're going to put him in that category?
Yeah, he was very good. Michael Chang.
Rafael Nadal has 17 Grand Slam titles. Djokovic has 12. I don't think their place in history is threatened. And by the way, Djokovic wins the third set, 7-6. So here we go. What's happened, Tom?
I'm taking a little break.
They get to take a break?
Yeah.
I thought we just moved on to the next one. He's waving to the crowd like it's over.
Why are they leaving? Maybe is there some kind of darkness issue?
Now you're wondering like I was.
Well, I am. Why are they leaving? This isn't a best of three.
I'm completely confused. Tom Thurber will get to the bottom of it as
well,
he checks.
Well, no, he didn't win the match. It's 2-1.
Right.
I'm confused. They're switching sides and taking a break. That's my only guess.
That's got to be what it is. But we're confused. They're signing autographs. Is it the lateness of the evening that they?
Well, I'm sure they have lights, don't they?
I don't know that they do. There,
maybe they don't.
It's
But you're not.
But I mean, it'd be 11 o'clock. It'd be 10 o'clock.
Saturday conclusion.
Conclusion.
Well, that's not fair.
Is it because of?
It must be because of darkness.
Well, but it's 10 o'clock. Although it does get later dark later in England.
Probably. Yeah, I don't get this.
Find out. You're supposed to know these things.
That's not fair. They get to refresh, and what? Meanwhile, Eisner or Anderson or whoever.
Well, it is dark,
but there's clearly lights.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to need an explanation.
Is it because SportsCenter's on? That's why they're cutting
that
away.
That could be it. That they're getting to SportsCenter. I almost dread going into what I'm going to want to talk about now because you don't want to hear anything that's not hip and contemporary.
It's not necessarily true.
But I decided today on my way in that I was going to be getting my last push. Last push. You know, I make pushes.
I didn't know that.
I fought hard to get Robert Elmore into the Wichita State Hall of Fame. And finally that happened. I'm not saying that I was the reason, but certainly I kept the topic going. Now my last fight with Wichita State is to try to get Warren Armstrong the reverence and respect that he deserves. We talked earlier in the show about, do you feel respected? Didn't we talk about that?
A little.
Well, Warren Armstrong is one of my favorite players. I'll admit that up front. Let's first get to Bill. Bill, you're on the show.
I was just going to say they have a neighborhood ordinance that does not allow anything going after 11 p.m.
Oh, wow.
11 o'clock curfew, and it is 11, six-hour difference from here.
All right. Thank you, Bill, for the explanation.
Bye-bye.
All right. Derek, is that what you were calling about?
I'm sorry. What was he calling about?
He told us that the 11 p.m. curfew was the reason that match was stopped.
Oh, I have no idea about that. No, I'm going to, as usual, call Jeff out. He was talking about yesterday that the greatest female athlete ever is Serena Williams, but who challenges her? She has no competition.
So?
No, that's a great comeback. That's awesome. So?
I just called these guys better athletes than Pete Sampras.
Well, they probably are. They've been playing way longer.
But my point was typically in tennis, by age 31 or so, you've been aged out by younger guys who are better athletes than you.
How old's Serena?
She's probably in her mid-30s.
Okay, then. So you're, again, contradicting your own argument.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm making separate points.
Good points, Derek. It's hard to follow, Jeff.
Those things are not mutually exclusive.
But again, we end
Serena
up back,
can
at, the,
be,
back
Serena,
at a place where we don't know what you're
but
saying.
No, we don't. Serena can be the best athlete, best women's athlete ever.
Who's challenged her?
Who cares?
But you care about these guys. You made the point that who challenges these guys?
Right.
You're the one who
but
made that.
Those aren't
but,
those
and,
things.
But then you care about that. But why don't you care who challenges Serena?
Those things are not even close to being the same. I can comment on something that's different from another thing.
I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I think you're grasping badly at straws.
Back to Warren Armstrong, and the reason I think his jersey number 52, should be in the rafters at Wichita State at Coke Arena. I've said this numerous times. It's not happened. And listen, I don't get to make the final say in these things. There's many other people who have opinions and thoughts as well. But to me, Warren Armstrong is one of the three or four best players in Shocker history. You've got Dave Stallworth, Khalil Littleton, Xavier McDaniel, Antoine Carr, Cliff Levingston, and then Ralph Miller, the coach. They are paid their respects. in the rafters at Coke Arena. And all good. But here's what Warren Armstrong, who later became Warren Jabali, did during his 3 years at Wichita State. As a freshman in 1965-66, 16.5 points, 12 rebounds per game, 124 assists in 27 games. The next year as a junior, remember he didn't play as a freshman, at least varsity. As a junior, 14.9 points, 8.6 rebounds, 111 assists in 25 games. And as a senior in 67-68, 18.6 points, 11.6 rebounds, 194 assists in 26 games. He currently ranks number 21st all-time in scoring, number 7 in rebounds, number 3 in assists in Wichita State history. He had 4 triple-doubles of the 12 that Wichita State athletes have had. 4 belong to Warren Armstrong. He had a 24-point, 24-rebound game against NYU in the NIT in 1966. 33 points, 21 rebounds, 12 assists against Arizona State in 1967. So those are some of the numbers that would support. Now, did he play on great Shocker teams? No, but he played on good Shocker teams that were in a very strong conference in that time, in that era.
Yeah, he probably deserves being in the rafters, but who knows? It's been a long time. I don't think any of those guys have had their numbers retired in my lifetime, have they? Maybe in the early, I guess, well, some of them played in my lifetime, but it's been a while, is what I'm trying to say, since we've had a number in the rafters. Well, what are the requirements? Do they have official requirements?
I think it's been a little bit confusing as to the requirements.
Like KU's, there's some wiggle room even in KU's, and theirs are pretty.
When Bill Self wants a banner hanging at Allen Fieldhouse, it hangs in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
That's basically the requirement.
And that's a more hallowed kind of situation, I would say.
I think this is pretty hallowed.
I know, but Allen Fieldhouse is a whole other thing.
Well, this arena's pretty hallowed.
It's not Allen Fieldhouse.
Here's the real Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good evening, Bob. You too, Jeff. Two things real quick. One, I couldn't agree with you more about Warren being in. I had a huge debate with a local sports guy, and he was saying, look at his total average of points and this and that. Not taken into consideration that in 65, I think if a team scored 50 points a game, that was a high score.
Well,
game.
Actually, Dave, those were some high scoring Shocker teams, and Warren did much more than score. But in that era, actually, there were a lot of points scored in the Missouri Valley Conference because it was such a great conference with really good players.
Well, I was born in 65, so I wasn't around. You know,
there you
I wasn't
go.
A big basketball fan at birth. And secondly, who is this Derek guy calling out Jeff? That's my job.
Yeah, okay. Derek, that was kind of lame.
I think it's becoming the job of the masses, Dave.
Now, I agree with everything Derek said, but that said, calling you out, Jeff, that's my job.
Yeah, but Derek didn't make any sense.
That. Not really, but
I thought it was perfect sense.
I think his point was, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but Serena doesn't have an equal, somebody to challenge her. That doesn't make her the best. She's the best in this era right now because there's nobody close to her. You know, Martina Hingis and going back, you know, Chrissy Everett and all them, they had a rival. So they weren't winning as many tournaments.
They did.
Them with other people.
Serena's just outlasted all of hers. Venus is not relevant. Sharapova is pretty irrelevant herself, and
hey,
I don't
watch out. Don't ever call Maria irrelevant on this show.
They were never, ever, ever to the same level of her. So does that make her, you know, on the Mount Rushmore?
I think so. I think she's undoubtedly great. But when you hearken back to a time when you had Chris Evert and Martina Navratilova and even Billie Jean King at the end of her career and Tracy Austin and
they were
Steffi Graf, all those players. That was an unbelievable era.
Yeah, but Serena would just destroy them because she serves at 178 miles an hour, and you can't return.
She's great. It. Nobody's questioning that. Dave, are you questioning
No, I'm not questioning that. I'd like to see Serena at her prime and Chris Everett or Navratilova or Graf in her prime. I'd love to see that match, but we never will. It's like LeBron or Michael Jordan. LeBron will never be.
Not never. As you recall on this show, there are times in the afterlife when you can dial those things up.
Dan. I don't know. I don't think I want to require that of Serena in the afterlife to go play Martina. She should be able to do what she wants.
Maybe
to.
She'll want to.
Maybe.
You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Dave. What if she's up there like, you know what I want to do today? I want to see how I would do against Martina Navratilova. Martina, you are able to play?
Do you think? Well, I don't want to get into these existential type conversations.
Why?
Do you think people in heaven are omnipresent? Can you do 12 things at once? Can you be any place you want at any given time and multiple places?
You know what? I just want to be with my wife and my dog and watch Bob Gibson pitch.
Can the man upstairs simulate a Serena Navratilova best
of 7? Why wouldn't he be able to?
You imagine that he is, but does he want to? Can he tell you no or she?
Why would? Maybe you don't have to go through him. Maybe you just call up Martina and say, I've got Serena here. Can you guys...
You
play
just
tennis.
Scroll through the list of tennis players and say, I want to see Serena against Navratilova and push start on a thing, and suddenly they appear in simulation.
From what I'm told, there's nothing off the table.
Well, let's hope. Maybe. I guess.
Well, do you hope that?
Yeah.
Maybe we could even do a congenial radio show up there.
Well, that'd have to
one
be.
One that you walked in and had ideas.
That would have to be a simulation also.
Maybe so. I don't know. We'd figure something out. Anyway, as we said, the match between Djokovic and Nadal will be picked up in the morning. With is it Nadal who is down 2-1 in that match to see who plays in the championship? And this is the championship. Whoever wins this will win in straight sets in the final.
I don't know about that.
Anderson's done, man.
Well, don't they?
Doesn't he played he have 6 hours.
Doesn't he have a day break too? Don't they play Sunday?
Sunday.
So he's got a little more time to relax than even these guys do.
It's kind of fun to talk about tennis, isn't it?
Well, I wish I knew more about tennis, but I guess if you're down to Serena, Djokovic, and
tennis could recapture
and Nadal, it's not that difficult to talk about because these guys have been around forever.
Tennis hasn't recaptured me, but tennis could recapture me if we had anything close to what we used to have back in the
day. Well, it's still a good game. It's still fun to watch.
Yeah,
it
but you had all these guys. We just saw a picture of Bjorn Borg in the stands watching. You had a little bit later, you had Boris Becker. You had McEnroe. You had Collins. O'Connors, you had all these people. Who else? There were a dozen of them, and they all fought tooth and nail.
Oh yeah, and I'm talking even in my era that was the case with Celis and Graf and Martina at the end, and lots of good players on the men's side too. It was fun.
Did I make any headway with my Warren Armstrong argument?
I don't know. That's something.
If you're wondering about, well, do they have to do something professionally? Well, he was the ABA Rookie of the Year in 1968-69, was one of the top players in that league for several years, and it was a darn good league.
I know.
So, I mean,
it's quite good.
If you want professional accomplishments, no, it wasn't the NBA, but it was only a notch or two below the NBA in those years. Remember guys like Julius Erving and Moses Malone,
Bob McAdoo, didn't
Rick
he play?
Barry, they all. No, I don't think Bob McAdoo did.
I must be thinking of somebody.
But
else.
But all those folks got their start in the ABA, didn't the? Did the Iceman play
George
in the ABA?
Gervin, potentially,
I think so. What Warren Armstrong, who's unfortunately deceased, what he accomplished in his basketball career, I would cry tears of joy if at some point.
Do you think we just
Wichita
might be?
Wichita State would see it within themselves to put that jersey number in the rafters
and start putting men's basketball players into the Hall of Fame again.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been too long.
But you got to figure Baker and Van Vliet are going to be up there someday.
I know. I
right?
just wish that then people will be like, okay, well, we got that era. That was the best. Stretch of Wichita State basketball, at least in the last 50 years. And then what happens with Ture Murray and PJ Kuznar and Randy Burns and Jamar Howard. Those guys should go in first, not because they're better candidates, but because once you start putting in Baker and Van Vliet and guys more recent, then you forget. And like what's happened with Warren Armstrong, he's just forgotten. Not necessarily.
He can't be forgotten. Not from the people who saw him play.
His case is forgotten. Not him himself.
He's a legendary figure in Shocker basketball.
I get it. But once you have guys more recent like Levingston and McDaniel who are to the rafters, it's like, okay, well, we've covered that era.
Here's the people who belong in undoubtedly above Warren. Stallworth, Littleton, and X. Those three. Antoine, okay, yeah, a fantastic player, but Warren was right there, and in my opinion, Warren was a better college player than Cliff Levingston. As good as Cliff was.
I think Cheese belongs in the rafters.
I love Cheese. Play it, Tom. Cheese Johnson, the day that Cheese, X, and Aubrey sat in this studio was one of the most enjoyable days
Cheese
ever.
Cheese Johnson he's not the most popular former Shocker, but everybody knows Cheese Johnson.
He's got
cult,
people skill.
Revered figure. Everybody loves him. He gets he belongs in the rafters too.
You know who called me today? I couldn't believe it. I looked at my phone. Xavier McDaniel.
Really?
He called me. Here's what
he
said.
What do you have to say? Is he bringing slam ball back?
Be quiet, would you? Just let me go. He's not bringing slam ball back.
Yeah, we need it.
Here's what he said. Hey, Bob, when I was on the radio show, you guys gave me a Freddy's coupon, and I went to take my kids to Freddy's here in Columbia, and they wouldn't take it.
What?
And I said, well, I don't know what's going on. Maybe they don't recognize that particular coupon in South Carolina. Try it the next time you're back in Wichita. So there you go. That's what he wanted.
That's too bad. I wonder why Freddy's would refuse.
I have no idea.
That's strange. You wouldn't think McDonald's would do something like
that.
You
wouldn't.
Freddy's is global.
But that was the call from the X-Man today.
That is,
all right, back
weird.
In a minute. This is The Drive, KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.